May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. Please do be seated. Lovely to see you here this morning. I've such a beautiful sunny day. If you get a chance after the service, go and have a look in the Garden Remembrance. We had a working party here yesterday. All the guys turned up with their wheelbarrows and spades, and we dug a trench and we planted a hedge, and it's really nice out there. So thank you to all of those who came and joined in that work. It was wonderful. Now, we have some readings this morning. I looked at them and I thought, well, I'll write a commentary on the John one. That's the Gospel. So you've got a little kind of précis of that in your commentary this morning. And I thought I'd preach on the Corinthians reading, because I don't often preach on Paul. So much of what he says is so hard to understand, isn't it? But I thought I'd have a crack at it this morning. So we're going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and this passage where Paul's talking about Jews and Greeks and how Jesus is as a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to the Gentiles. Very interesting phrase. And what Paul is saying is that essentially Jesus was a big disappointment. That's the message that he's getting across. Jesus was a big disappointment. He knew for a start, Jesus was a disappointment to the Jews because from the outset of his life, he had just really let everyone down. Their expectations for what a Messiah should be had not been fulfilled. Jesus had been born in a stable, you know. He had been brought up with these parents of questionable marriage. He was supposed to have freed the people from the subjugation of Rome. He was supposed to have done so much, a great leader, and then he just let people down from the very beginning, even to the end of his life. You know, how does a Messiah end up on a cross? You know, a cross, a cursed thing. So to a Jew, there was a huge stumbling block to even begin to get your mind around the idea of Jesus as a Messiah. Huge, huge problem. And I suppose, you know, there's a sense in which we're all a little bit like that. We don't like to think of God being revealed in those sorts of ways. They're the opposite of how we expect God to be revealed. If you think about it, we often think that a person who was following God and doing the right thing, that they would be rewarded with blessing. Good things would happen to them. You know, if you're living your life and doing your best, good things will happen. And often that is the idea which is put around, that, you know, if we follow God closely. Sam, can you go and turn that radiator off? That one over there. Can you hear that hiss? Does it only me who gets annoyed at those kinds of things? No, it's only me. You don't get annoyed by that, Lynn. You don't get annoyed by anything, though, do you, Lynn? No. It's amazing. Now, let's listen now. Silence. Yes, it's probably true, actually. When you're young, you pick up noises. See? That's why I have those mosquito devices at shops, don't they? So only the young people hear them. The old people can't hear them. See, I can pick up these noises. I've got young ears.
It was deafening me.
It was deafening you. Now it's deafening you, yeah. So we've got to question ourselves. Do we only see God at work in the successes of our lives? When things are going well? Or do we see God at work when things go wrong? You know, is God only being nice to us, kind to us, when our children are well behaved, when our jobs are okay, when we've got good health and long lives? Is that a sign of God's blessing? Or can God be really absolutely present and close to us when things are really horrendous? And of course, you see Jesus on the cross, and it must be that at that moment, God was closer to him than any other moment, when Jesus was actually dying, the crucified Christ. And so this is foolishness, isn't it? This is completely contrary to what the world might teach us. But it's true. We mustn't think that God is absent or even displeased with us when things are falling apart in our lives. That's absolutely not it. At those times when we feel most lost, when we feel most abandoned, that's when we must cling to this message of Paul that Christ is close to us, that God is with us in those times of difficulty. So that's the Jews. But Paul also knew that Jesus would be a big disappointment to the others, to the Greeks and to the Gentiles. You see, that the Greeks like learning and intelligence. And in the reading from 1 Corinthians this morning, Paul starts off by quoting a passage from Isaiah, which says that human wisdom is doomed to failure. It says, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. Paul's making the point that human wisdom in itself only leads to frustration. The wisdom of the world around us is not all that it's cracked up to be. Now, when he went to Corinth, that was a big statement to make, because everything was, you know, learning was esteemed, really important and valuable. And I think probably there's a large body of opinion today which says the more education we have in the world, the better it'll be. Almost as if knowledge in itself can put the world right. The problems that we face as a human race are neither caused nor mended by education. The problems we have in the world are neither caused nor mended by education. Human intelligence cannot sort out the problems of humanity, and that's what Paul recognises. The cause of our problems isn't ignorance. And it has to be recognised, I think, that the more fantastic and creative humanity becomes, the more our capacity seems to be increased to damage ourselves. And the most amazing inventions seem to be able to be used for even greater crimes. And our advanced technology, it could be said, moves us along so that we're almost on the precipice of a new dark age. When you think of the countries now with the capacity to blow ourselves up many times over. And this idea that somehow science can make everything well. And the reason why we make such a mess of things isn't because we just need more and more education. And more learning and more wisdom isn't going to fix it. The deepest problems of humanity are not solved by being clever. And that's what Paul is trying to get across in this passage this morning. And nothing's changed in the 2,000 years since he spoke those words. Science today will not drag us out of our problems. And we need to recognise the limits of human knowledge and the necessity of faith. The limits of human knowledge and the necessity of faith. I think it's important because until you've got the diagnosis of what's wrong with humanity, you can't actually fix it. You need to know the problem before you can get a cure. When I go and visit people in hospital, I think probably subconsciously, the question that I always ask is, so have they said what's wrong with you? You know, I always ask that question. Because once you've got the diagnosis, it's halfway there to the cure, isn't it? Once you know what it is, then you can start to deal with it. And if you think what's wrong with humanity is that it's just, you know, just needs more education, well, you're wrong. That's not going to put it all right. I don't know if you used to have a car years ago that used to break down. The cars always used to break down years ago, didn't they? You used to got an old car, though, generally. It's a very nice car, but it's a very old car. My cars used to break down. And when the AA man used to come, I always used to say to him, do you know what's wrong with it? I never used to say, you know, can you fix it? I always used to say, what's wrong with it? Because I want to know what's wrong. And it's the same with humanity. You look at humanity, you need to know what's wrong. And Paul is saying that it's not lack of knowledge. It's something much deeper. And unless we can admit it to ourselves, I suppose it's like the addict, you know, who says, you know, I'm taking drugs, but I can handle it. You know, it's not a problem. Or I'm drinking, but I can handle it. It's not a problem. It's only when you're actually able to move out of that state of denial that you can start to fix things. And we need, as a human race, to recognise that we've got a brokenness which needs fixing, that we can't fix by ourselves, just by education and making ourselves more clever. That's foolishness, Paul says. Now, as Christians, it's saying, you know, bottom line, it's admitting I'm a sinner. Admitting that there's something wrong with me that I can't fix just by reading books or trying to be better. That's what we call sin. That's why we have our confession, because we have to recognise the fact that of ourselves, we cannot be made well. There's a corruption within us which causes us to be selfish and inconsiderate, to lose our tempers, to take more than we give. to say nasty things behind people's backs, to spend time being critical of others, and not enough time doing all the good things, you know, generally encouraging and being nice to each other. Now, we need to recognise that that's where we are. It doesn't mean to say that we go around calling ourselves miserable worms, or that we're burdened by huge burdens of guilt, or that we bemoan our many sins and wickedness. It's just about being honest and admitting that we stand in need of help, and that there's no cleverness of our own that's going to enable us to be the kinds of people that we aspire to be, the kinds of people that we want to be, rather than the people that we're sometimes ashamed of. Now, that's not to say that human knowledge is a bad thing. That's absolutely not. I mean, when Paul went to Athens, he went to the Areopagus, and he discussed with the philosophers, and he was able to debate in his day, and you know, it's really important. And the church is not the sole source of truth. However, what it does mean to say is that as well as the power of reason, we need the light of revelation. We need something switched on in our lives which recognizes our need of God as a light inside every soul, which needs to be switched on to recognize our need of God. I mean, it's that thing which, you know, you can gaze through a telescope at the wonders of the world, you can see what Hubble's doing, you can marvel at it all, but unless a little light's switched on, you don't see behind it all. You can see the creation, but you cannot understand the Creator. So it's foolishness, and we don't like the term fool. We don't like the idea. We think fools are sad people. But Paul's saying that, you know, this isn't understood by the world. They consider it foolishness. But it's really, really important. And Paul's unashamed of using this idea of foolishness to describe the Christian way. Because Paul realizes that the more somebody lives the way of Christ, the more the world around them might consider them to be an idiot. And in so many ways, the Christian life is countercultural and counterintuitive. And Paul knows this, and he makes the point that we should not be concerned about that. The Christian believes that we have to learn to consider others before we think of ourselves. That's counterintuitive. We have to be kind in all that we say and all that we do. We have to be more willing to give than to receive. And that's what Lent is all about. And on Lent 3, this period of Lent, which is sort of like an MOT of our lives, we should be saying to ourselves, so how have I done this week? You know, how have I done? Have I been considerate and thought of others? Have I spoke of others badly? You know, said things when I wasn't in their presence, which I wouldn't say if I was. Unkind words, things which can damage our relationship with others, corrupt our souls and make our faith only appear skin deep. So Jesus wants us this morning to look at our need of the Holy Spirit to come in and change our lives. We're doing in this Lent a period of reflection in which we try and ask ourselves, am I living the kind of life which I could be empowered to live with this light of God switched on? Am I reflecting God's glory in this world which so badly needs to know what God is like? A world which cannot heal itself, a world which has not the capacity to understand its need. Am I helping, and am I sharing that message with those around me? Amen.